text and the call for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day from John chapter 6, and especially these verses. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw a sign, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto everlasting life." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We see them almost everywhere we go. As one song from 1970 proclaimed, "Signs, signs, everywhere a sign." So what is the purpose of signs? Well, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary suggests that one definition for the word sign is a posted direction. And these are exactly the kind of signs that I want us to focus our minds on this day. Those kind of signs that direct us somewhere else. You know the type. Go over to our schoolhouse and climb up the stairs there and you'll see one. Boys to the left, girls to the right. Hop on the interstate and you might see another that says something like Salina, 24 miles ahead. Head 5.5 miles south on this road, and there at the end, you'll find another sign that says St. Paul Lutheran Church, 5.5 miles north. Jesus says in our gospel lesson today that the people that had come to find him had not come because of the signs, but rather because they had their stomachs filled. You see, our text occurred shortly after Jesus had fed over 5,000 mouths with a couple portions of bread and fish. It happened right after Jesus had quite literally walked across the sea to the other side. In fact, when the people came looking for him, that was their matter of concern. How could Jesus have possibly got there when they saw the boat left with only the disciples on it? Well, regardless of their confusion of how he got here, they did know what they wanted from this Jesus. They wanted him to give them more of what he had given them, namely bread. In fact, they sort of felt like they deserved it. For after all, they had all heard the stories. Moses had given the Israelites manna from heaven. And if Jesus wanted to be thought of in that way, if he wanted the people to trust him as they trusted Moses, well then Jesus better do something similarly spectacular. Sure, feeding the crowd once with bread was impressive. But everyone knew in the Old Testament stories that manna was produced every day, not just once. Yet those Israelite people figured they had it all figured out. Moses had given manna, then Jesus provided bread. They figured now in finding this Jesus, their life would be so much easier. For now that they had found someone to provide them free bread every day, so many things were going to change. They could cross a huge line off their budget in buying or growing the grain they needed to make that bread, to buy the oil they needed to make it as well. Women would now have so much time for other things, since a great portion of their day was spent always making bread. But Jesus taught those people that gathered for those reasons that their plans were not his plans. If they thought they were coming there to him to simply fill their stomach again, Jesus said they had missed the whole point of his coming. Jesus tried to explain by first explaining what had happened way back in the wilderness and what had happened when those 5,000 were fed just before our text. You see, he told them first that manna was not provided by Moses. No, indeed, that manna was provided by God. And that manna was to be a sign. It was to be a sign that directed people towards God and His goodness towards all people. At the beginning of the 5,000, similarly, it was not just that Jesus, those people thought they knew, that son of Joseph, a man among many other men, who had provided them that bread. No, once again, there at the feeding of the 5,000, God had been the one providing the food. And that bread, too, was to be a sign. It was to be a sign that directed people again towards God and His wonderful goodness towards His people. But unfortunately, time and time again, people seemed to simply focus on the sign, on what had happened, rather than discerning where that sign was directing them to. Some families, as they go on vacation, when they see that first sign of the attraction that they are going towards, will take the time to stop on the side of the road, get out, and take a picture. For instance, a family traveling to Florida might get out and read a sign that says, Disney World, 10 miles ahead. Now, no one would think the family a bit crazy for getting out and taking a picture by that sign. If, however, that family got out, took the picture, and then got back into their car and traveled home, instead of going the additional 10 miles, everyone would really start to wonder about this. You see, that's kind of exactly what had happened at the feeding of the 5,000. Those people that were gathered there had stopped at the sign. And they had thought the sign was all there was to know. Yes, indeed, they supposed that Jesus was there simply to fill their stomach, perhaps to fulfill a few other needs they could list as well. But what they did not understand was that even the fullness of their stomach was to be to them a sign. A sign that once again directed them elsewhere, namely to God the Father and His great love for all humanity. It was a love that ultimately God could not show through providing bread. Yes, it was a love that God did not demonstrate by sending upon the earth some sort of wonder bread, but rather by sending upon the earth a wonder man. A wonder man named Jesus Christ. A wonder man who was and is the only Son of God. For you see, God's love is most powerfully known not in a satisfied stomach, but in a satiated soul. Indeed, all the miracles that God ever did, while providing for the people's needs at the time, were ultimately given as signs. They were given as signs that directed the people to consider the great love of the Father. For you see, when one understands the love of the Father, when one understands that that love made it that He would send His only Son into this world for the sake of humanity, one very quickly begins to believe in that one that was sent by God. And to trust in the one whom God has sent, Jesus tells us again today, is the ultimate thing that God desires for all of us. Above all of the other commands that we might be able to find in the Bible, there is one thing that God desires above all of us. That we would believe in the one whom He has sent. Yes, Jesus tells us that that is ultimately the work of God that He calls all humanity to. I suppose at times you and I are not all that unlike those crowds that found Jesus the day described in our text. I suppose many times too we go seeking out Jesus, only hoping that He'll fulfill our immediate earthly desires, that He'll fill our stomach, so to speak. We seek Jesus so that he'll heal our sicknesses. We seek him so that he'll give us that job we want that will provide the things that we think we need. We seek him in order that he might provide for us great friends and even better spouses. And truly we think that if God gave us all those earthly desires, we would be completely satisfied. God today reminds us that that is not his desire. He does not want to be sought out simply to give us earthly blessings. He indeed does not want us to be satisfied with just earthly things. And so he tells us today that when he gives us those earthly things, as he so often does, that ultimately he gives them to us as signs. Signs that are meant to direct us back to himself. That we might learn that God is truly good to us, far better to us than we ever could deserve or even imagine. For God gives us much more than good friends and spouses, much more than health and wealth. No, indeed, we must learn, as those people there with Jesus that day learned, that ultimately we are to value having Jesus more than any other earthly thing. Yes, we are to learn that God has given his Son that we might have new life right now and that we might keep that life forever. Yes, that gift, the precious gift of the kingdom of God given to us, is to be by us valued more than anything else in the world. Yes, even more than the length of days we spend on this earth. You see, Jesus is the bread of life. And he is the one that is truly to fill us up to satisfaction. You see, God gave manna in the wilderness. And it sustained the people from day to day. God gave 5,000 men and their women and children bread. And indeed, that day they left satisfied. But those that ate of the manna eventually died. And those that had eaten of the bread on that great miraculous day when the 5,000 were fed were again the next day hungry and seeking for seconds. But the real bread that God was serving that day to his people was Christ. The real bread that he was seeking to give to them was the bread of life, Jesus himself. The ones who digested him by believing in him would never again be hungry, would never thirst, would never die. Their lives now and for all eternity would be bound up in the life of Christ. This same Jesus is served to you this day. The bread of life is given to you again. He is given to you through the word read and the word proclaimed. He is given to you as the forgiveness of your sins is announced. And soon he will be given to you at this altar under the forms of bread and wine. Yes, the bread of life, Jesus himself, is served here today. The purpose of signs, it's almost always to direct us to something else. The manna, the bread, all of the ways that God cares for your physical and earthly needs are but signs. Yes, even the most miraculous ways that God has ever provided for the physical needs of humanity are but signs. They are meant to point us somewhere else. They are meant to direct our thoughts to the Father and his great love. They are meant ultimately to focus us in on the greatest miracle that ever happened. The one miracle that ever happened that was not about directing us somewhere else. Yes, they are meant to get us to where we need to be. There at the foot of the cross, God gives out all of his rich gifts for body and for soul. For you see, at the foot of the cross, there is no sign, for there is nothing more to be directed to. But rather, the cross is where we have been directed to all along. For there we receive the grace of the Father made possible through the Son. There can we stay forever. For there at the foot of the cross, our life is directed and our eternity is secure. No, the miracle of the cross is not a sign to direct us elsewhere, but it is the very place we have been directed to.